This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
Dear listener, hear these words of Jesus to his disciples. He says, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. We read this in Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23. What we have here is Jesus preparing his disciples for what was to come. He shows them the whole picture of what his life and ministry would be about. Jesus did this a number of times, especially in the last half year of his ministry, when he focused also on teaching and training his disciples. In Matthew 16:21, we read, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Remember too on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we read in Luke 9:31, Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And we read, "When they came down the mountain, Jesus commanded Peter, James, and John," according to Matthew 17:9, "Tell the vision what you have seen and heard to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." It is clear Jesus is focusing his disciples' attention on what will happen soon. And we read in our text selection that Jesus' words made the disciples exceedingly sorry or sorrowful. That means they became very sad, distressed and depressed even, because of Jesus' serious message. Well, as we think now further about Jesus showing the whole picture of what his ministry would involve as Messiah and Savior of sinners, my prayer is that it won't leave anyone listening now exceedingly sorrowful, but exceedingly glad. Yes, for consider with me from our text passage the love shown by Jesus here in teaching his disciples about his saving work as suffering, triumphant Savior of sinners. Specifically, we might say, Jesus shows here his steadfast love, his caring love, and his gentle love. Yes, and preparing his disciples. Jesus showing the whole picture here of his saving work demonstrates his steadfast love, his caring love, and his gentle love as Savior of sinners. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus' words left a real impact on the disciples. "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And we read, "And they were exceeding sorry." But to see Jesus' steadfast love in these words to them, just think for a moment of what this forecast meant for Jesus himself. The fact is, Jesus knew the suffering and death that was awaiting him. And as he came closer to the date of his crucifixion, known beforehand already to the Father and the Son, then Jesus as human being is realizing it and foreseeing it. As his crucifixion drew nearer, Jesus thought about it more and more. This truth is worth meditating on. When you are having a special happy event in the future, how exciting that is, and how good it is to look forward to that event. For example, think of getting married or taking a dream vacation. But what if instead of expected pleasure, you had to face a serious operation, maybe even a death squad or the electric chair? You agree, that would not be something you would be eagerly looking forward to. And if you could, you would try to avoid something like that altogether. When something awful is facing us in the future, it is awfully hard not to be thinking of that all the time and to be awfully overwhelmed with it all before the time. Well, Jesus foresaw and foreknew what was awaiting him, nothing less than a most agonizing, shameful death on a wooden cross. Worst of all, Jesus knew he would bear the divine punishment for sin in the place of sinners. He would be made a curse and be forsaken even by God his Father. When Jesus, as the Christ, as the God-sent Messiah, would lay down his life a ransom for many, as a just for the unjust, what inexpressibly horrible anguish of body and soul he would have to suffer and endure, nothing less than the equivalent of the torments of eternal hell. Jesus was facing this all as God appointed and God anointed Savior of sinners. And the closer Jesus came to the time when he would give his life, the clearer it became what he would have to suffer, and the more Jesus also shared it with his disciples. And now to see his steadfast love also with this text announcement in Matthew 17, consider with me how Jesus didn't shrink away from going to Jerusalem and fulfilling the work given him to do. But Jesus steadily and willingly, yes, constantly, voluntarily went onwards toward the very place where he knew he would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus didn't run away from this mission. The people for whom he would give his life were so undeserving of his saving work, and they didn't understand it, and they didn't ask for it either. But Jesus went on to give his life a ransom for many, for the honor of God the Father, and out of love to God and love to sinners. Here Jesus showing the whole picture to his disciples, and behold him not running away from his work, but pursuing it in steadfast love, that he might truly and endlessly be the Savior of sinners. Jesus' words about his forthcoming death and his repeated focus on that prove, I say, his steadfast love for sinners. Jesus came to do what the Father sent him to do, and he would let no one and nothing turn him away from his one time for all time saving work on behalf of sinners. Do you too see Jesus' steadfast love in his showing the whole picture to his disciples, while at the same time continuing his course toward Jerusalem in complete fulfillment of his saving work? Notice next with me how Jesus' words also show his caring love. Jesus spoke these words as well as the other announcements about his suffering and death, not for himself really, but for his disciples, to prepare them for what was to come. The fact is, they had understood so little yet of the real nature and meaning of Jesus being the Messiah. They still thought so often in earthly terms and resisted any notion that the Messiah must suffer and die. But Jesus caringly keeps instructing them, progressively teaching them not only that his death was a necessity, but it would be a certainty. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. It seems that with Jesus repeatedly bringing the matter up, the disciples were beginning to get the point. And unlike the time when Peter rebuked the Lord, this time there is not so much protest to Jesus' words, but just great sadness with his words. The seriousness and sureness with which Jesus spoke left an impression of alarm with the disciples. From the other gospel accounts, we know that at this time the disciples still understood not Jesus' words, but hearing it over and over, that his Savior was still preparing them more and more for things to come. Jesus caringly forewarned his disciples about his suffering and death, so that when it would happen, it would not be too great a shock and not overwhelm them in hopeless despair. The closer they came to the day of Jesus' crucifixion and death, the more the Lord revealed that it was coming and that it had to be so. Do you see Jesus' steadfast and caring love towards his disciples, even as he did this and as he continued towards the cross? Don't we see Jesus' caring love in also him including with each announcement about his suffering and death the reality that he would also rise again from the dead? Jesus never gave a picture without leaving the bright message of the empty tomb as part of it. But as we shall notice, it seems that part was missed altogether by the disciples. Yes, notice here our third point, namely Jesus' gentle love in showing the whole picture. What I mean here is, we are told that the disciples became very sad, exceedingly sorrowful with Jesus' words about his coming, suffering, and death. And is that the response they should have had? Not if they understood the whole picture as God intended it and as Jesus meant it. I mean, Jesus was laying down his life to save sinners. And hadn't Jesus also said he would be raised up again the third day? Jesus was telling them the best news ever, and the whole gospel message of the Bible. God's saving message in redemptive history was about to come to its climax, giving reasons for endless adoration and jubilation. But we read, "And they were exceeding sorry." What a response! But Jesus, in gentle love, didn't take it personally and didn't lose his temper with his slow-to-understand disciples, but he just went on training them and continuing heading steadfastly to Jerusalem for his once-for-all sacrifice. What can we learn from this text? We can learn what a gracious and glorious Savior of sinners Jesus is. Isn't there every reason wholly to trust Him to be also your Savior from all your sins and sinfulness? If you look at yourself, you will find, if you are honest, all kinds of reasons why you are most undeserving for God to receive you as His child. You are sinful, a breaker of God's Ten Commandments in thought, word, and deed. What is there in any one of us that would ever qualify you or me to be a child of the King? Nothing at all. But the gospel is about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in God triune, and for Jesus' sake alone. In view of Jesus' person and work as God-sent Savior of sinners, God's word calls you to realize from your heart your desperate need of the Savior, and that your acceptance with God always is never found in yourself, but only always in and with the Savior alone, through His finished work on sinners' behalf as crucified and risen Savior. You come to God rightly only in looking to Jesus Christ, trusting Him and not trusting yourself, but entrusting your sinful self to Him and His steadfast, caring, and gentle love for sinners. That is the way of true and eternal salvation. The gospel of grace is not about what we have to offer to God, but what God offers to us in and through Christ Jesus, freely, by grace alone, through faith alone. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is the only hope for this sinful world, and no sinner's case is hopeless at all when you go to Jesus, confessing all and telling all to Him. This is the gospel. Do you need to hear it this hour? Dear listener, don't continue in sin and unbelief. Don't go on trying to make yourself worthy enough, but come as an unworthy sinner, pleading and trusting only the worthiness of Christ. Let His steadfast, caring, and gentle love draw you now. Jesus is the only Savior for sinners, and there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, says Peter in Acts 4. How living in sin and unbelief even a day longer should leave you exceedingly sorrowful and awaken you to come to your senses before you become eternally exceedingly sorry with no more hope of salvation ever again. How terrible that would be, especially when God in Christ so called you to be saved from sin and to come under His wings, but you would not come. Consider the Savior and His steadfast, caring, and gentle love towards His disciples, such sinners in themselves. The gospel truth is, Jesus Christ, the once crucified but now risen and ever exalted Savior, is the only God-sent and God-approved Savior, and He is mighty to save all who come to Him, drawn by His love. Are you drawn to Him? And if so, are you living too, that many more might come to know and believe on Him, Jesus Christ, the Lord? Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Hep Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.